Tonight's episode of Survivor Know-It-Alls is sponsored by Lisa, who are redesigning the mattress. If you're finding yourself distracted, forgetting things, making mistakes at work, making mistakes on Survivor even, they don't have any good mattresses out there, not being the knowingest know-it-all, then maybe a quality night's sleep could be all the difference. The right mattress is the difference between resting and just laying down. That's where Lisa comes in. With 30 years of experience in mattress engineering and hundreds of hours of testing, comprised of three foam layers that provide cooling pressure relief, body contouring, and support. That could be a Survivor season. Pressure versus body contouring versus support. Over 300,000 happy Lisa sleepers agree the Lisa mattress gives them the rest that they need. Order your Lisa mattress online at lisa.com/RHAP with the promo code RHAP to try it risk-free for 100 nights. Nicole and I just started sleeping on a Lisa mattress this weekend, and it is so soft and so comfortable. Maybe the softest mattress I've ever had. We're so happy. It ships directly to your door in a convenient box with free shipping and free returns. Find the right mattress for you at lisa.com/RHAP and get the rest you need tonight. You could get up to $160 off the Lisa mattress or $235 off the luxury Sapira mattress and free shipping on the Lisa mattress at lisa.com/RHAP with promo code RHAP at checkout. That's LEESA.com/RHAP with promo code RHAP to start saving on the Lisa mattress.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls. Survivor Know-It-Alls. Steven and Rob went out and down. Got the game all figured out. They know it all.
Yes, that's right. We are back here. And Stephen Fishback, I am so happy to be back talking Survivor tonight with you.
Rob, I have a prepared statement to read to you. Rob, this is a big week for Survivor, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
We have gone this week from alliances having names to alliances having physically associated gestures. This is a huge step forward in the game. I'm so excited about it. You got the Rock and Roll Alliance. And then what's our gesture, Rob? What's the Know-It-Alls gesture? I'm thinking like, boom.
Yeah.
Because we just blew your mind.
We have an idea bomb that explodes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Right. I like that too. Yeah.
So here we go. So excited to be back here. Hashtag RHAP. Get your questions in for the Survivor Know-It-Alls on a big week. Two survivors go out this week. One in epic fashion, one in not the most epic fashion, but we lose two survivors tonight. We'll talk about all of it here with you. Very excited about all of that. A lot of stuff coming up. Let me just set the stage here. Tomorrow, we'll have a double exit interview. I will talk to B and Natalia on the Survivor exit interview. So be on the lookout. Be on the lookout for that.
Oh, Natalia on the lookout for that.
Yeah. And then I will have, I'm very excited to welcome back PG Law, who will be in the studio, your castmate from Survivor Second Chances. She will be here to talk about everything, and we will be live, or I'll be here in the studio with her, and we will record some video as well, so be on the lookout for that. And then Sunday Berquist will be on the feedback show this week, so be on the lookout for that as well. And then, of course, Wiggle Room to come. But Stephen, 1 week from tonight, I will be in Reno, Nevada, part of Run It Up Reno for the Reno It Alls. That's what I'm calling it when Stephen Fishback is not with us in Reno. The Reno It Alls.
Oh, wow. That's and I'll Natalia be right here.
Yeah, you're welcome to join us.
In Reno, and I'll Natalia here.
Yeah. And so next week, if you can make it out to Reno, Nevada, the beautiful Peppermill Resort and Casino, courtesy of Jason Somerville's Run It Up Reno, we'll have a great panel with myself, Adam Klein, Tyson Apostle, Boston Rob will be there. Michelle Fitzgerald, Steven's friend and mine, the real Coach Wade will be there. So it will be a great panel. We will stream that live on West Coast time right after the episode coming up next week.
Hey, so, I've got a question for you. Is Coach actually going to be there? Because literally every time I went to Reno, I would hear like Coach is coming, and Coach never came. It was like waiting for Coach Ho.
He says he's coming. So I don't know. Yeah. I mean, he's just into it. Coach and I have never been tighter, Steven. That he has recently watched my season, and he was like texting me in real time as he was watching Survivor of the Amazon.
I always thought of your season as All Stars.
Yes, well, yeah. Some people say when I say my season, people are always like, "Well, which one?"
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Coach really set the pace for podcasts with you, because he was on the treadmill when he did it.
Yes. So very excited to be all together with that crew next Wednesday night in Reno. For more information, go to runitupreno.com to book a room at the Peppermill Resort. Use promo code RIU Reno, but it is free for you to attend the live Survivor viewing, podcast taping, and karaoke party to follow. That is of no cost if you can make it out to Reno, Nevada, the Peppermill Resort and Casino for Running Up Reno. Okay, Steven.
That is a super fun event. Okay, sorry, I want no more.
Best deal really in Survivor podcasting. Event. Show up and Running Up Reno. Have a great night for free. Okay, Steven. So, a lot to unpack here tonight, but I think we have to start with this tribal council. And this was sort of a wild swing of events where it seemed like an open and shut case, but for some reason, and it's not exactly clear, that Alec decides to go away from the person who was, according to Jeremy, according to also the plan of, okay, everybody, all the ladies, you get this person. I thought Natalia was Alec's person, and Alec decides to throw caution to the wind. It's almost like at this tribal council, he's just like, F it.
Well, that's the crazy thing. And I really feel like there's got to be something else happening here. Because, you know, it's like on its surface, right? It's a terrible, terrible decision for so many reasons. You know, he betrays his allies, right? And you know, people hate flippers, right? They loathe flippers more than they hate people who are against them from the other tribe. So that's going to be huge, you know, not just on his own tribe, but the Goliaths on every single tribe are going to be like, you flipped on us. He gives the tribe majority to the Davids because you've got Carl coming back onto that tribe. And like the survivor resume point, I was tweeting this, is so trivial. Nobody cares what you did pre-merge. Like, survivor resume only matters after the merge. And the crazy thing about it all, so on its surface, an incredibly dumb move. But the crazy thing about it all is that Alec knows all that. Like, he has confessionals where he says, oh man, if I do this, all the Goliaths on the other tribes are going to be pissed. And he's another confessional where he says, oh man, if I do this, Carl's coming over, the Davids are going to have a majority. So it's not like he's making some terrible decision ignorantly. He's making this terrible, terrible decision like with full knowledge.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And so I guess I have a couple of questions of like, what was the killer argument? I mean, was it A, what Elizabeth said to him on the beach about the resume? Was it B, what Davey said to him about potentially working together? Or was it C, that Natalia was, for whatever reason, was so intolerable for him that he said, I got to get rid of her?
I really think it's got to be C, you know, and I wrote a little bit about this in my blog, but, you know, Natalia was obviously feeling incredibly paranoid. And so she kept on going to everybody else and asking for reassurance, right? She said to Kara, like, I don't, you know, I'm nervous. Are you going to flip on me? She said to Alec, you know, like, are we really together? Like, really, 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 are we together? And I think when you are saying to somebody else, like, I'm afraid, I need reassurance, what they're hearing from that is, I don't trust you. I think you maybe had to get me, and so I may get you first. And I think that for Alec, maybe he thought like, you know, there's always a little bit of like the new toy syndrome when you swap or you merge. You're like, ooh, who are these new fun people? Like, what can I do with them? Mm-hmm. And then like the old toys are sort of like, like those old toys, like I've been playing with them for 2 weeks already. And I think those probably combined.
Steven, then could you explain the difference between Natalia's paranoia and Gabby's vulnerability in this episode, because it seemed like that they were treated very differently and also received very differently. But I feel like that they're sort of not super far apart as emotions.
That's a really great call. That's a really, really, that's a really interesting distinction. Like, what is the distinction there? On one hand, you have Natalia, who's really irritating people. I mean, and then maybe it was because, I mean, I guess it's they're basically saying very similar things, aren't they? Like, Gabby's asking for reassurance too. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think that one is more of like a call for help. One is like a distress signal of like, Christian, help me. I'm scared. I'm not as good at this as you are. I don't know what to do. Can you protect me in this game? Can you reassure me that I'm not going to be the one if I get voted off? Whereas it felt like that it was more of a conscious decision for Natalia to say, hey, I'm feeling insecure. I am going to control this. I'm going to make sure that I'm going, you know, to whip the votes and make sure one of these people has to go home. So she was actually less passive. And I think that maybe it was the kind of thing that ultimately irritated Alec to the point that he said, I got to get rid of her.
Yeah. And it also could just be, you know, I mean, the vagaries of the individual personalities, right? Like on the one hand, you know, they're expressing themselves, like you say, in very different ways, right? And Natalia is being much more forward, I guess, aggressive about it. And Gabby, obviously more, you know, she's weeping there, you know, it's just the way. And then you also have Christian, right? Who's maybe a little bit, you know, different, more, maybe a more sensitive soul than Alec is. So I also think there's gotta be something else. You know, like we see these things as there's these three Goliaths and two Davids. Why would you be so stupid as to screw up a good thing? But they're like, it's, you know, ultimately it is like a network of individual bonds and individual connections. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess they just, you know, probably he just felt like enough with this bossiness, you know, and like, let me just try to present a counter argument, which is that, you know, you're at this swap tribe, you know, Tyson Apostle, winner of Survivor Blood versus Water, has always said, you've got to like treat your swap tribe like it's your new tribe because you have no idea what's happening on the other two tribes. And then you have Natalia, who's like bossing everybody around and making it hard to work together. So maybe there's, you know, an element to where he feels like if we're going to go forward as five, like let's do it as five and without all this conflict. I don't know. Maybe that's I don't know. What do you think? Give me some Sister Nino witticisms.
Well, I don't know if I have any witticisms, but just the decision that Carl was going to be coming back to this tribe just seemed to loom so large over this vote. And, you know, I'm interested I'm going to talk to Sunday Berquist on the feedback show. In Millennials versus Gen X, we saw this exact situation play out three times where the group that was in the minority from the original tribe ended up knocking out a person that was in the majority in each of these swap tribes, and we see it happen again. And I'm just very interested to know, why does this seem to keep happening on Survivor, where the bigger group seems to keep eating itself in these swap tribes?
I really do think there's an element of like, you know, you're like, the new people seem exciting. You're in a dominant position, so they're like currying favor with you. You don't feel threatened and afraid because you're in a dominant position, right? People who are in a position of power feel comfortable to make big moves. You know, the new people don't seem like threats, mm-hmm. and you know, and then so you're focused on your existing threats. I mean, it's just like, it's this like tale as old as time with, you know, survivor groups in dominant positions, whether it's the majority on a swap tribe or it's the majority at the merge. They're much more inclined to turn on themselves, take out their existing problems, than they are to sort of like bond together, because they don't know the new people. The new people are, you know, and it's easy to kind of like start to fantasize about like, oh, I've got this ally with Davey and this ally with Elizabeth. But I know Natalia is not going to work with me. So like, maybe I can like plot something magical down the line.
Well, Stephen, going back to Survivor Second Chance, now you in the three tribe part of the game, I believe you guys threw a challenge to them.
Well, whatever.
Didn't care if you won. And you guys voted out somebody who was an original Bion tribe member as opposed to either Spencer or Kelly Wigglesworth. So could you talk a little bit about that decision?
Yes, it was a terrible decision. I was not on board with it. Everybody really wanted to do with it, and I regret it to this day.
What was the reasoning behind that again?
Well, obviously, we weren't going to vote out Spencer. Both Jeremy and I really knew and really we really liked him. I think it was the idea that
Monica, he was somebody from outside again. And this is obviously different with a returning player season, where that's somebody, hey, we want to work with this person. So as opposed to strangers, as it was in this case.
Yeah, I mean, I think in that, you know, it's like, I think it's a really similar parallel, right? Where on the one hand, we had Monica, who nobody trusted from the beginning of the game. She seemed really schemy. Like, we saw her, I mean, this is slightly different, but we saw her, like, scheming with Spencer and scheming with Wigglesworth all the time. So, like, we know Monica is untrustworthy. We know she wants to flip on us at a merge. And then we have, like, oh, these fun new people. Like, oh, my God, it's Kelly Wigglesworth from season one. Oh, my God, it's, like, my friend Spencer Bledsoe. You know? So it's, like, they're so exciting in their newness. And like, I know Monica is dangerous. I actually do think that's a pretty good parallel. I mean, granted there are like specific differences, but you know, I think there's, that's not dissimilar from what might've influenced Alec to flip tonight.
Okay. I want to ask you about this tribal council because it was really a great tribal council. And so we started off where it was Elizabeth versus Davey. Were they on the same page? They ultimately voted together. Were they just trying to throw Natalia off the scent there in your mind? Or was that something, a plan that came together once Alec whispered to Elizabeth?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, I assume, like, you got to assume that that was like a last minute move by Alec, right? Otherwise, like, why is he going and whispering to Elizabeth?
But nobody
like
whispered to Davey.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Davey was voting Natalia, right? But probably he communicated to Alec, like, hey, I'm voting Natalia no matter what. Like, just let me know. Or maybe he and Alec were like, had already kind of resolved on it. But if it's not a last minute plan, what on earth is Alec doing?
Yeah. And so he whispers to Elizabeth, who in Natalia's mind is the target. And Natalia correctly says, I'm not cool with this. I'm not cool with what just happened. I am not on board with this. This is not good. And then we see Alec then whisper to Kara. And then she ends up listening, like, well, he says it's okay. He says it's, well, yeah, the plan is still the same.
So. Yeah, like, well, what should Natalia? It did seem like there was something Natalia should have done. Maybe even something Kara should have done.
What could she have done? I kind of felt for Natalia.
What could she have done? That's my question too. Like, do you think
she's on the plane? The plane's going down.
Yeah. What is there anything to say?
Unless that she's like, hey, everybody, you know what? Let's vote for Alec. Alec sucks. Vote for him.
That's such an impossible audible. Like, that would be like such a crazy call shot, because then if you're wrong and Alec was just going along with your plan the whole time, you look like the biggest moron.
Why talk to Elizabeth? There was no strategic, unless that he felt like, oh, Elizabeth has the idol. I need to then try to make her feel comfortable.
Well, this was like my biggest lesson from Survivor Cambodia, which is that when things smell funny and like people are behaving in ways that do not make rational sense, then they are definitely doing something that like you do not want them to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with that, because in Survivor the Amazon, I never felt like anything was off. And then the first time I ever felt like, but this feel doesn't feel right, was in Survivor All-Stars. And I got voted out. So, yeah. Because when I lost the first time, it was like, you know, kind of an open and shut case. It was like, I didn't win the challenge. Jenna was going to vote me out. I got it. But, you know, I hadn't had been blindsided before to know what that felt like. So, I definitely, to go back to Survivor Ghost Island, I do think, you know, you need to trust your gut. But I think her gut was the only thing. No, this is wrong. I don't like this.
Yeah. Yeah, what could she do? And you're right. There's like nothing. It's such a crazy position. Like, she could see it happening. And like, Kara's like, whatever, you're fine. I mean, it's not Kara's butt on the line. You know, obviously she doesn't want her ally voted out, but it's different when it's you in the hot seat versus like someone else. So his pro's probably fine.
And I was a little wondering, like, did Kara know? I don't think she knew either, because in the coming attraction for next week, and I don't know how much it's canon, she talks about that Alec blindsided me in the preview for next week's episode. So she seemed like that it was a surprise to her as well.
Oh, I definitely think it was a surprise. I mean, I just can't. I mean, what do you think? Is there some ration? Do you think? This is a terrible move by your lights, right? Like, this is a bad.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm almost surprised. I actually, like, I wrote my blog thinking that like people would be more outright, like appalled by what seems at its surface like truly a horrible move. So I wrote like a blog being like, guys, let's not pile on Alec too much. But actually, there's some debate about like, wow, what an interesting big move.
Why are people saying that? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, I saw some like, you know, or maybe it's just more enthusiasm about the season. More like, yeah, wow, what a fun.
It was great TV. So thank you, Alec, for that. We appreciate it. It was a really great blind side and a really great reaction from Natalia to walk off. Like, you know, she's like, did you know? Like, where do I put this thing? It was great. A great reaction from Natalia and a really great TV moment. But it's just on so many levels, especially with Carl coming back. And Carl has a relationship with Davey as well. So Alec in this new tribe, even if you feel like that, okay, there's going to be this new paradigm that's going to be created, at best, maybe he's, you know, third on the totem pole.
Oh, yeah, no, it's and it really is a bad move.
And he's probably fourth.
Yeah, I mean, and you don't know, right? Like, when are swaps these days? Swaps are pretty early. I mean, I guess, like, they've got probably a solid week before they merge. But,
yeah.
Well, they might swap back. They'll probably swap back, right?
So it's early chronologically in terms of they swapped on day 10 where, you know, I think that this is one of these situations where the show was going to probably swap at, you know, do this swap at 16.
Yeah.
But because B ended up leaving the game early on this, you know, early in the episode cycle, it seems like that maybe there's going to be like time wise, they'll be in this group a couple days longer than anticipated. Let me ask you about B. Was B, and this is like a little bit in the weeds, but was that a medical evacuation or a quit?
No, it was a quit. It was. I think Jeff was very clear that it was a quit.
You can tell when they weren't happy about that.
Yeah, and understandably, like it makes sense for her, right? Like I don't want to jeopardize my life and my career, but someone was tweeting, you know, like they shouldn't cast athletes because like they're going to be super paranoid about small injuries, which could be career ending for them.
Yeah, it was an important distinction. You know, we talked about it last week, how they made a lot of mention of it. I did think that the show treated it as like she's cuckoo. Like when she talked about it, she kind of got the Dodo music talking about like, oh, it's my MCL. I can tell when there's an issue with my knee. And then obviously, you know, the show knew that she was going to ultimately because Jeff went to her. Okay, B has an announcement that she's going to tell to the group. But yeah, Jeff was very clear about this. This was, you know, she had a choice. Survivor Medical was not pulling her from the game. She was pulling herself from the game.
And the David tribe of all tribes for this to happen on. In fact, retroactively, every medical evac in history in Survivor is a David.
Yes. Yes. They were all Davids all along.
Mike Barassi, David.
Huge David.
Yeah.
Huge David, Mike Barassi, major underdog. Okay, Steven, then let's talk about a couple of these other tribes that we got to see. Actually, one other thing, actually, before we move away from the orange tribe. Steven, should they have tried to throw the challenge? If you were Carl or Elizabeth, Elizabeth or Davey, was there any wisdom in trying to throw the challenge to try to get Carl?
Wait, for Elizabeth or Davey to throw the challenge in order to get themselves voted out in Carl's place?
Yeah.
Please you explain. What are you saying?
So I was a little confused in terms of how this was going to work in terms of Carl coming back into the game. I was under the impression that Carl was going to join them at tribal council to vote.
I was not under that impression.
Yeah, you felt this was exactly how you thought it was going to be. And should Carl have gotten to watch the tribal council? Because I feel like we've seen it different ways.
Yeah, either way. I mean, I actually was surprised by that. I thought maybe he would just rejoin them the next day, but I thought that worked.
Okay. All right, Steven, let's talk about some of these other tribes. Let's talk about the new tribe, our green tribe, Tiva.
Tiva.
We got our dream matchup of Christian and John Hennigan.
Oh my God. And the bromance is real. Like that little bantery interchange was so good, you know, between them about, oh, you know, I don't have access to the web portal right now. Like John was giving, I mean, like, you know, like you kind of have preconceptions and I admit, you know, and I probably am like Gabby with some of my preconceptions about bros, but you know, like I'm a John convert. I'm a Johnvert. He's so clever and so on point.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's a super witty guy. So I think that he was a good foil.
I didn't really. I mean, like, you know, I've only recently learned that.
Okay. Steven, John and Christian on The Amazing Race. Are you shipping it?
Oh my God, I would love to see that.
Probably, well, I think that it would probably, I don't think John would do it at this point.
Well, would you, I mean, would they more likely, he's like the heavyweight champion of the world.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on. I mean, I think they're lucky that he did Survivor.
Seriously, I mean, what a guy.
I mean, speaking, I mean, on, you know, one hand, we're saying like, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't cast athletes, but here's somebody whose career is his body. Here he is, you know, he could, you know, could take him like quite some time. Not that I know anything about putting on muscle, but I think it would take, you know, quite some time to rebuild the physique after you're out there for a certain period of time, if that is what your job is. So I think that, you know, he's been great. Much better than expected.
Oh my gosh, he's fantastic. I mean, can John win? Like, I know everyone can win, but can John win?
I mean, well, what is the reason that you feel like he cannot? You feel like he'll be too big of a threat at the merge?
Too big of a threat at the merge, yeah.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, we've seen, you know, alpha male types win at the, you know, win the game. So I don't want to say it's impossible, especially if the Goliaths have the numbers.
Would you be happy with a John Wynn, like literally the biggest Goliath that we were talking about last week about who's the most Goliath of the Goliaths? Like, John is the most Goliath.
I mean,
like,
I don't care if a David or a Goliath wins. If he's a likable character on the show and he plays a great game, you know, why wouldn't I be happy?
I'm rooting for a John Wynn at this point. I think he's actually my favorite.
Four episodes, he's been fantastic.
Yeah, he's my favorite. And yeah. Christian, obviously. You know, Christian is my heart will go
they,
on.
They have been two standouts, and it's been great to see them together. In terms of the tribal politics there, do you feel like that Gabby is in big trouble?
I don't think so, because it really does seem like Christian is going to protect her.
Can
you
he?
Know,
I mean, what will he say? Let's vote out Dr. Allison.
We don't even know what's going on with her.
Poor Dr. Allison can't even get the screen time in the 5-person tribe.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, like at the tribe swaps, there's a lot of people a lot of storylines to show.
To be fair, yeah, she got a bad draw in terms of people that are eating up the camera time.
Yeah, like probably four of the five biggest characters on the show are on that tribe.
Yeah.
With Natalie being the fifth.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So unfortunately for Dr. Allison, but you would think that maybe if it was going to go in that direction, you think we would have at least, you know, heard from her.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it really is interesting. I mean, that tribe has got is really strong, right? Because like most survivor challenges are a mix of skills. You need like someone who's really strong and someone who's really smart. And that tribe has that.
Right.
So,
I think like two of the best athletes and then also two great puzzle solvers. So whatever the combination is here in the 5-person tribe, and Gabby did a great job in being the person who was leading the blindfold crew tonight. So that is a Swiss Army knife of teams.
Yeah, someone on Twitter, Sophie, texted, there's very few challenges that really reward being a technical writer. And I thought that's really one of the few.
Then we have our purple tribe, the Jibini tribe. Jibini?
I don't follow the names.
Yeah. We got to see that Natalie is still being Natalie.
Yeah, Natalie's still Natalie. Yeah. And we got the Rock and Roll Alliance. Those are the big storylines there.
Yeah. One of the storylines from last week was how Angelina got the vote changed from being to Natalie to being to Jeremy. I would have loved to have seen a little bit from Angelina talking about how like this really paid off for her because she saved Natalie last week. And now here is Natalie in this group. But it still doesn't seem like that there is a bond between Natalie and Angelina that we've seen on the show.
It really did seem like Angelina was more interested in doing it, you know, to get rid of Jeremy than she was interested in it to save Natalie, right?
But it feels like a missed opportunity to go to Natalie. And Natalie has not necessarily appreciated that type of, hey, like, I got you. Like, I didn't need you to get me.
From Natalie's perspective, it might not have been Angelina, right? Like, we know that she wanted Jeremy out. We know that she was like, we saw her strategizing against Jeremy. Like, from Natalie's perspective, maybe she got Jeremy out.
Yeah. Okay. So we saw Natalie telling everybody what to do. I mean, that she does seem to know what to do.
Yeah, it's easy to know. Oh, you got to build that shelter, light the fire, stick with the fire.
Guys, keep the fire. Make it high. Make it bigger. Put that sticks in there. What are you guys doing? Come on.
Yeah. It's not lit yet. Fire's still not lit. Now it's lit. Now the fire is lit. Okay. Yeah. Now you...
The other pairing that we got to see in this group, we got to see Mike and Nick together. And Nick has another alliance.
Yeah, rock and roll.
Yeah. They are the Rockstars.
Rockstars. Rockstars.
Real cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of that alliance name?
Disgusting. Yeah. Nick's really what's incredible about Nick is that he has no self-consciousness about how terrible his alliance names are. He just goes with them. And, yeah. and his enthusiasm for them is really beautiful.
Yeah. Is Nick running the risk of, will he be able to remember the names of all his alliances? Yeah. You know, Survivor gets tricky. You know, it's like you're 38 days in, you can't remember your phone number. Now, can he remember all these alliance names?
Yeah, the thoroughbreds. So does he even remember being a thoroughbred? What do you think, like real talk here, Rob, what do you think about like the gestures?
I mean, I don't love the rock stars, to be honest. I think it's a little bit, you know, Bill and Ted.
But isn't that like the appeal of it? Like how corny and dumb it is? Like,
do you think that Nick is going for ironically funny?
I don't think that's what he's going for. I mean, but I think like that's sort of like the delight that Mike has in it, right? Is like he sort of sees the.
I'm not sure if Mike has a lot of delight in it. He's like, I think he's just sort of going, okay, all right, whatever. Nick wants to make an alliance. I guess we're the rock stars.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah. If he wants to make an alliance with me.
Yeah, I thought he liked it, though. Yeah, I mean, you're right. You're probably right. He didn't really care one way or the other about being the rock star.
I think he'd rather have made an alliance than not made an alliance, but I don't know if he's necessarily... He didn't seem like, yeah, finally, I've got an alliance going with Nick. We're the rock stars.
Now, is this sort of like the inversion of like Nick's alliance with Christian? Like, does Nick seek out a type?
Yeah, how so? What do you mean?
And it's like the nerdy guy in this tribe, you know, he's going for the nerdy guys.
Yeah. So you feel like this is like some sort of like a mirror image where he is like, okay, well, I'm going to make alliances with the nerdy guy wherever I find one.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like he's making an alliance with every single person he meets, Stephen. He doesn't seem to be that discerning.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. We got to find out how many alliance nicknames there are at the end of this season.
I mean, it would be a fun montage at the finale where, you know, if Nick is the winner, it's like we see the montage of like, I've got a new alliance. It's called the Thoroughbreds. Got an alliance called Mason Dixon. Got an alliance called the Rockstars. Got a new alliance.
This is a lot better than like Phillip's thing, right? Of like, and like, it's basically what Andrea was saying at our live show, right? What Phillip did was he invited everyone to be a part of the same named alliance, which was Stealth R Us. And then the people who were like the founding members were like, what the heck? Like, what about our alliance? Nick just creates a new named alliance with everybody.
Mm-hmm, right. And Philip gave out nicknames to people in that alliance as a way to sort of like endear. But people don't necessarily always feel good when you give them a nickname.
I liked being the wizard.
Yeah. But I'm sure that you've also gotten nicknames that you did not appreciate.
Are you working through some trauma here? Is there something you'd like to share with the group?
No, I don't really have a ton of nicknames. The Rob that sucks, but I kind of embrace that.
Yeah.
So, what are you gonna do?
With a name like Fishback, there was a lot of teasing in elementary school, but I've come to terms with it.
Yeah. Steven, did you feel so much like Elizabeth when she talked about at Tribal Council that she was so nervous she thought she was going to poop her pants?
No, I can't say that I did. I have no connection with that statement.
Yeah. So the other big moment from the episode was that Carl went to exile and he got the idol nullifier. I'd love to talk that through with you as this is the development of a new twist in the game, the idol nullifier. And I don't know if you've spoken about this at all before. Do you like the concept of the idol nullifier?
I love the concept. I think it's really, really great. I think it'll make, you know, because I mean, gosh, like there've been so many seasons where someone has just been like invincible because of their idol play and it's made the game a lot less fun. And just the fact of that, this, you know, it could be, if it's used correctly, it could really light things up. And then B, you know, in the future, when people know that if there's a potential for an idle nullifier to be in the game, I think it'll complicate further strategies around idle play. So I really dig it, because it's definitely been a little bit tedious where, like, you know, nine people want someone out and they've got an idol. Like, sometimes that can be very exciting once, but then when it happens like four or five times, it's like, you know, time to go.
Yeah. So I was a little confused in terms of how this was going to work. I heard Jeff Probst explain this to Josh Wigler in First One Out, and I think I got a little more confused. It sounds like I go to the urn, and I think that if somebody is going to play an idol on you, or you are going to play an idol, I just write down Fishback right on the thing and then put it in there. And then if anybody plays an idol for you, Jeremy stands up, he plays an idol for you, you stand up, you're going to play an idol. An idol cannot be used on you. That's from what I saw in the episode tonight. That is my understanding. Where I thought originally that what Jeff was saying was that not only did I have to write on the thing who had the idol, but I thought you had to say who they were playing it for.
Oh, I don't think so. I think it's just like who's being nullified. That would be way too much otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be.
And also, it would be like an easy workaround. You like give it to your friend and be like, hey, play this on me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you would think that there might also be drama when it's going to be used at every single one of these votes, where I don't think that Survivor will show us necessarily it going into the thing where we can see somebody, like, before every single vote, Carl might say, maybe I'll use my idol nullifier tonight. And then if somebody stands up at a tribal council this season and is going to play their idol, then there's also going to be a beat of, is Jeff going to go in there and pull the idol nullifier out?
So, you think every week they're going to have Carl like say the same thing just so that they got it on
especially
tape.
Especially if somebody's talking about, I'm going to play my idol tonight. I think we'll also see Carl talking about, like, well, maybe I'll use my idol nullifier tonight. So I think that's going to be another level of will he or won't he and all that stuff. All right. So, Stephen, I want to start to get to some of the questions from the listeners of Rocket Podcast. Anything else you want to touch on?
No, this is a really fun episode. You know, a lot happened once again. You know, a lot of like fun relationships. It's a great season. Yeah. Josh Wigler tweeted like best season ever. I mean, you were four episodes in.
He might have been a little hyperbolic.
I don't know. Josh Wigler, I think we can agree, is completely wrong. No, obviously he was being hyperbolic, but I do think it's on pace to be one of the best seasons ever, for sure.
Yeah, and I think it's been really fun. I don't know, for whatever reason, I feel like that the expectations were a little bit low coming into this season, and I certainly think that that helps. This was not a season that was especially hyped, and so I think that people came in not really expecting a lot from this season, but I think that it is really delivered, so kudos to Survivor.
Yeah, yeah, and the editing has been fun, and I'm with Josh on this one. I think it's on path.
And we've seen good starts to seasons that go south, and we've seen bad starts to seasons that get better. But it's always better to start good than to start bad.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We'll see. Before we get to our questions tonight, let me just quickly thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, Leesa Mattress, L-E-E-S-A. Steven, if you are in the market for a new mattress, and why wouldn't you be? Because you will feel great. Nicole and I just started sleeping on a Leesa mattress, and we love it. It hurts even more that my kids wake up so early in the morning. Try it out for yourself for 100 nights at leesa.com/RHAP. Get $160 off the Leesa mattress or $235 off the luxury Sapira mattress. Free shipping. Try it for 100 nights. That's at leesa.com/RHAP. Promo code RHAP. Let's get into our questions here tonight, Stephen.
Ann Curtis wants to know, why does Jeff say fifth person voted out of the game? Did he forget that Pat and B weren't voted out?
I think you can forgive him in the excitement of the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Fifth person eliminated. I think we're okay. You know,
it's tough.
All right. Becca wants to know, so why did Natalia and Takara vote differently? It had to be like a split vote, right? Right. Like an idol split vote. I think that they each thought, right, they had insisted to Davey that Davey should vote for Elizabeth. They insisted to Elizabeth that Elizabeth should vote for Davey. And I think they were probably planning a split vote. You know, when you're in that power position, you think everything's going to go according to plan. And the end?
Well, I think that it's still unknown to us. I think that probably I'll ask Natalia about it in the exit press, exactly what she thought was going to happen. That who knows that maybe Alec ended up telling Kara to vote a specific way for whatever reason. Like, oh, I was saying it's going to be Davey tonight, and that's why I told Elizabeth that it's going to be Davey and vote for Davey. And maybe then Kara, when she looked at Natalia, was like, you're good, but it's not you. So yeah, maybe that was the case. Maybe that so it was that Alec gave Kara new information, but it didn't ultimately change the result.
Yeah, it's possible. I'm betting on the split vote, but okay. I believe so. All right,
we'll see. All right, so Stephen, let's take another question. This one is from Patrick, who wants to know: do you think that Alec whispering was all just for show, or was it strategy? Well, what is the show?
Yeah, the only show is like freaking Natalia out, so I think it has to be strategy there. I think he like made a last minute decision. I mean, and I think that's actually an element of it, Rob, that we didn't really discuss, which is that at Tribal Council, you're so heightened, you're so paranoid, everything is like running through your mind. You just make like these. It's easy to see how someone could make a bad, crazy decision in the moment, especially like how old Alex Young, right? He's a kid.
Is he that young? I don't think he's like a 21. I thought he was in his mid 20s, but I don't know exactly the case.
Well, he is 24, so that's pretty young.
Okay, all right. Yeah. But he seemed to be, very thoughtful about the decision. I mean, we saw him on the beach talking with Elizabeth. Elizabeth said that, look, Alec is, very deliberate about what he says. Alec doesn't do anything rash or anything that's not premeditated and say anything outrageous ever. So we have to go by what Elizabeth is saying.
Yeah, I mean... I think that's, but the thing is, like, you can add up all of the factors, right, in your thinking and still not have a clear choice, yeah. Right? Like, you still, just because you know everything that you need to consider doesn't necessarily mean you know what to do. And I think that's, that's the challenge with any decision in Survivor or in life. And so, like, he might have not made a really clear decision.
Okay, this is a question. This is going to be a little bit of a hot take. This is one from Cade.
Cade. All right, Cade says, can Jeff please put a stop to this annoying whispering at Tribal? I don't like it. Now, Rob, you're also someone who's a little bit worried about too much whispering.
Well, I think I've been worried in the past about the toothpaste, being out of the tube. And, my concern, I think, in the past has been more of like the let's get a group huddle going. OK, all right. I need to talk to my people over here and everybody's over this and then everybody's over on the other side and then people getting up from their seats. I don't know if any did Alec get up from his chair or did he just like lean?
He got up.
One on one of like, hey, here's the plan. It did nothing bothered me from this Tribal Council. But
well, what's good is that, like, I think Jeff is really good at drawing attention to it. So it's like,
Davey,
you can
what's
do
going
that.
On there, Davey? How right, do you feel right. about this?
So you can do it, but you're going to have to like, there's going to be consequences for it.
Do it
and I think that's
expense.
Really cool. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Do you have an issue with the huddle where everybody is, breaking off and going off with their tribe?
Yeah, I don't love that. I agree. That's sort of like, then this group huddle, that group.
It was amazing that in that one vote, but I feel like
the Malcolm vote.
Right. And like people shouldn't be able to get up and have like sidebars with like, can I talk to these people over here? Can I talk to, okay. All right. Let me get you. Okay. You sit down. So that's too much.
Yeah, no, I agree. But
this is fun.
This is drama, and it's drama because, you've got Natalia's reaction, right? Being like, what is going on here? I am not in favor of this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is a question from Amanda Fallon. Do you wish that we got to see the moments of B talking through her decision with Dr. Joe, or are you glad that we got the yada yada? So I don't know if necessarily that she talked it through with the doctors as much as she might have just talked it through with the producers.
Right. And I mean, it's possible that she got the doctor to like take a look at her knee and they confirmed what she was saying.
Well,
but
I don't know necessarily. I think if the doctors confirm what she's saying, I think that the doctors probably would have pulled her from the game or at least presented it in the way where it would have been, well, you can do further damage if you stay in the game. And I think that they probably would have wanted to give her that out. My sense is that the survivor doctor said, I think you're good. You're good. Because, I mean, especially in the post Beast Mode Cowboy era, I think that the Survivor doctors are pulling people at the first sign of a long-term injury.
Yeah, I think the Beast Mode Cowboy thing, and this is very different, right? Beast Mode Cowboy was about to die. And
you don't think they have a quick hook where we've seen people in the game before saying like, no, please don't take me out. I want to stay.
But yeah, right. When someone has an injury that precludes them from advancing, but we've also seen a lot of people move forward with injuries of this magnitude, right? Especially in the injuries, you know, Abby had one in Philippines. Missy had one in San Juan del Sur. So we've seen people who have like advanced in the game with injuries that would inhibit them in the game, but we're not, you know, we're not life or death injuries. So it's, I think it's very possible the doctor said like, here's where you are. Like you can move forward with this. It could cause further damage to your knee. And she's like, I'm an athlete. Like no way.
Okay. All right. What about this question from Mr. J. Mackey, Stephen?
J. Mackey says, we saw Gabby crying, feeling she was on the outs in her new tribe. If they lost immunity, do you feel she would have gone home? Or Christian for being a bigger threat? Or would we have seen the Goliaths turn on their own on this tribe as well? Interesting question. What do you think? Where we were sort of alluding to this earlier, but I don't think we came up with a great conclusion. Who goes home on that tribe?
So I think it would be Gabby at this point, but, you know, things could change where either Gabby has really earned her keep in the tribe where they feel like they want to keep her around, or Christian is able to convince some of his new allies that it's the case, or maybe we'll see something where Dr. Allison could potentially emerge, or Dan with his idol as being kind of a threat. So I think that it's not necessarily where I'm feeling like Gabby is going to be the next person to get voted out. I think she's more likely to make it to the merge and then they don't go to a tribal council.
Yeah,
that but seems I do think that she's probably the most likely if they went to a tribal council.
Yeah, I think that tribe is going to be pretty strong for reasons we were saying before.
Can I bring up something also that was interesting from this episode? And I don't know how many times you have to get ask Jeff Pittman to answer this question, that we saw a tribe win reward in this episode, and we did not see the tribe enjoy that reward.
So so great.
Does that happen a lot in the sort of, three tribe, where we have one challenge and we don't get to see the tribe that gets the reward enjoy the spoils of said reward?
Yeah, that's been happening for the last couple of seasons. It's been really nice, like how like we don't have to. Okay, like they're all having a great time and they're all so happy and they're all eating their brownies. Mm-hmm. Like they've been cutting that out a lot, and even sometimes
on a food reward. I feel like that I because I feel like that we tend to get the reward earlier in the episode, or at least there's one challenge. We have it earlier in the episode and maybe see the tribe like, okay, we're gonna get strong now. We're eating our snacks.
No, it's in the last couple of seasons. I think they've been, unless something significant happens at that reward, like they have been sort of yada yadaing and really getting straight to the meat.
Didn't miss it.
Yeah, they're very happy. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's do a couple more questions with Steven Fishback. What does Jessica have to say?
All right. Jessica wants to know: did you like the names of the new tribes? If it was two tribes, what would you have thought of David and Goliath?
So we're gonna merge the names together. Like, listen, get ready for the merge, okay? Because David or Goliath is a very strong possibility for the merge. Now, I think this was a question that people were concerned about early on of, okay, if they go to three tribes, what will they name them? Survivor was able to think of names on the fly. So it worked out. And so I think it was fine.
Yeah. All right. James wants to know, how do you guys think this new advantage in the game affects the idols that Davey and Dan have? Will this advantage be a dud, or do you think it'll succeed? That's a good question, Rob.
Okay. All right. Steven, so I think it will affect Dan's advantage more than it will affect Davey's idol, because that Dan's is public and Davey has not told anybody. Also, Carl is an ally of Davey. And so if Carl's going to use it, I think he would be less likely to use it on Davey's idol.
Yeah. If the advantage nullifier is played, does he go back in the game?
I don't know. I suspect that we might see it just come up the one time. If this season was called like Advantage Nullifier Island, which, you know, is non-zero possibility of a future season. So I would say yes, but I think that this might be a one and done.
Yeah.
Unless it gets played like next week.
Oh, and then, man. I hope one and done for the season, not one and done for like the show.
For
okay.
The, yeah. For the season. I think that because I would imagine Carl's going to hold on to it for a little bit.
Yeah, there was an advantage nullifier in Australian Survivor.
Right.
I haven't seen season three yet, but season two, it was a big move.
Right. It was played differently in Australian Survivor, where you were able to play it after somebody used the hidden immunity idol. Here, you have to play it before the votes are cast.
Yeah, what do you think of that? Of those two rules, like, which do you think is the better rule? Like, should people be like, should it be like someone plays their idol and then you can decide, do I want to nullify that or not? Or do you like it as is, where you have to decide in advance, I'm nullifying a potential idol play, and then maybe that's wasted.
So I like the American idea here, where you have a better chance of wasting it, because I think that much like being able to play the idol after the votes are revealed in sort of like the Tyler Perry idol or the, you know, God idol version of this, I think it's too powerful to be able to use it after somebody is using the hidden immunity idol.
Yeah, I mean, the only advantage to the Australian way is just like we're like in this like idol crazy universe where like everyone's got idols all the time. So, and then it's nice to be like, there's definitely a way to cut through the red tape here.
So I think that Survivor is very much in the business of they want to see people use things incorrectly, as you may or may not know. And I think that they get a lot of mileage out of that. So the idea that this could be used and also could be used incorrectly, I think that Survivor is just as happy to see it used and wasted as opposed to used and have it be a home run.
Yeah. But, you know, like something like this isn't flashy because you're not like, you know, it's not like me like stealing. I'm stealing Joe's vote. You know, there's no big huzzah of like doing the nullifiers because
right.
it's a voting booth.
And then is wasted. I think that nobody would know about it. If I remember from what Jeff told Josh Wiggler in the preseason. So I guess it could be kind of a dud. You think it will be used correctly?
I hope so. I got a lot of hope, a lot of faith in Carl.
Yes. So are you saying that you are going to, I know you want to make a wager this season.
Can't wager on this.
Okay. Not feeling strong enough about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Steven, this is one from Cindy. Tell me if this is something that bothers you or not. Jeff had two baskets above. I saw this a lot on Twitter. One for each original tribe, which guaranteed that all three new tribes would have a 3-2 Goliath advantage and a David goes to exile. Do you think was more fair? That you say that this is preposterous?
I think the buffs, I'm assuming the buffs were men and women.
We don't know. Somebody will have to go through and do a, you know, shot by shot examination. But I did see a lot of people jumping to that conclusion on social media. But we'd have to go back and study the tape. Well,
but if that were the case, then Jeff would be determining that a David for sure got the. It wouldn't make sense that they would want that, you know, like for the show. It doesn't make sense that they would want Goliath to always have the advantage, you know. If Jeff were handing out the buffs by tribe, it would also make sure that it was a David who got the no buff basket, right? That David got the Carl basket of going to exile. Also doesn't make sense because if a Goliath got that, then there would 100% have been at least one tribe with a David advantage. So I don't think that makes sense.
Yeah, it's hard to speculate. We have to go back and watch the tape to see exactly.
I would wager, you know, I would give very strong odds that it was a male female split and not a tribe split.
Okay. All right. Scott, do we have any more questions tonight with Steven or Lorenzo says, do you think that Davey, Elizabeth, Carl should now try an intentional Matt Singh to get Alec and Kara out? Steven, what do you think about that? You know, Alec has surrendered the numbers advantage to the David tribe. Do you think that Davey, Elizabeth, and Carl should get on the same page? Now, we've seen that Elizabeth was part of that vote to send out Jessica, so it's not necessarily that this group is on the same page.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. You know, like, yes, if the Davids were like one monolithic block of love, but that was really what got fractured when they voted out Jessica instead of Larissa, right? Was like they split the tribe down the middle, and now you don't have like some great big David block, David voting block. So I don't think it makes sense. You know, Carl and Davey aren't necessarily so loyal to the whole David group. And separately, like what we were saying before about how when you swap tribes, you've really got to like build some trust with your new tribe, because you really have no idea what's happening on the other tribe. So I mean, I think the three of them should enjoy their new power position, and yeah, don't screw it up, guys.
Okay. Hashtag monolithic block of love tonight here on Survivor Know-It-Alls. Steven, who got the fishy tonight?
You know what? I only gave a rotten fishy to Alec.
Oh, interesting. Because
I thought that it was a bad move, but it was also the successful move. I did spend a lot of time in my blog sort of talking about like trying to explain why he was thinking and why maybe it wasn't as terrible. But because like on the surface, it looks like a very bad move.
And could it be as simple as that maybe he likes Kara more than Natalia and wanted to be on a tribe with just Tara, not Natalia in the way?
So and he would rather have like Carl around than Natalia in that scenario.
People have different motivations, Steven.
Yeah, yeah.
Non-zero chance of that.
Really? You think that that's, I mean, in the sense that there's like a non-zero chance of literally anything?
I mean, look, that I think that there's a non-zero chance. Maybe this guy is saying, hey, I don't want to be on this island with Natalia. I'd rather be here with Kara.
But he could have been there with both Kara and Natalia and then just like voted out.
Look, we'll have to, who knows, Steven? The world's a mysterious place.
I guess that's true. Why do we even talk about anything? It's like, how can you choose between Wendell and Dominic? The world's a mysterious place.
I guess so. But I am asking you your particular opinion in that instance. But anyway, Steven, so Noah, okay, I won't get into the, I felt like he could have gone either, you know, co-fishy for Elizabeth and Davey even.
I didn't think that necessarily. Yeah, I thought about it. Co-fishy for Elizabeth and Davey. They certainly did a good job of, sort of stirring Alec up. But it seemed to be as much Alec's decision and his frustration with Natalia as it was anything that any one person said. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the resume thing like really resonated with him. I mean, Elizabeth saying on day 11, the person who's sitting at that tribal council might be determined here tonight. Like, boy, is that just ridiculous.
Because yeah. I did think that Davey and Elizabeth did do a good job in this episode.
They did a great job. They did a really great job, for sure.
Okay. Steven, so what else tonight? Of course, follow Steven Fishback on Twitter. Be sure to read his blog on people.com. Let's talk about what's coming up here. Nick Iadanza has some more Survivor Australian Season 3 deep dives, and he's got Sharn on the podcast. Be sure to check out Nick's deep dive with Sharn on the wrap ups. I will have the exit interview tomorrow, and I will speak with B and Natalia on the exit interview and get some answers about this tribal council as well. So be on the lookout for that. And then this week in Survivor History, and then PG Law here in the studio. Very excited to have PG back. She's always a great guest. She knows her stuff, and looking forward to catching up with her on Thursday. And then the RHAP B&B, where the tabulator, Kurt Clark, will join Mike and Liana to play some games. Always a treat. Be sure to check that one out in our Survivor podcast feed and the Rehab Ups feed. And then Why Natalia Lost, Why B Lost as well. Be sure to check out David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis in the Why Blank Lost. And then Sunday Berquist will be joining me. We're going to do the voicemail feedback show earlier in the week. I've cleared out the weekend. So
yeah. You know, it's really coming up this weekend.
Big weekend coming up. So
Rob Cesternino's 40th birthday.
Yes.
Oh my God, you're so old.
Yeah, I'll let you know how it is, and then you can tell me in January.
You're so old.
Yes. So, Steven, we don't like that term, okay?
Yeah.
That's not.
You're so Goliath.
Yes. So, be sure to get your feedback questions in for Sunday by Friday. That's confusing. I know that's confusing, but get your questions in for the feedback show by Friday morning. And you can also email questions in for PG as well and for Sunday. Survivor at robhasawebsite.com. And hey, want to become part of the Rob is the Podcast patron community. We're having so much fun. Had a great patron 5 for 5 talking about everything going on in the world of Robinson Podcast with the First Lady of Podcasting last night. And of course, we take your calls every week on the Facebook Friday podcast as well. So much going on. Rob has a website.com/patron to support all of the podcasting going on at Rob has a podcast. Stephen Fishback. All right. Next week, I will not be getting to chat with you about the episode, unfortunately. But be sure to read Stephen's People blog.
Yeah, just, you know, why not? Why not?
Yeah. And then look, if you got, you know, a super hot take or anything, I'm sure I'll give you a call.
Okay, great. That sounds great. If there's a hot take, I'll let you know.
All right. And then we have one other programming. And then in 2 weeks, it will be Halloween. We will have a Know It Alls podcast for you guys, but we will not be live on Halloween night. That I have some trick or treating commitments with my family. So
what are you dressing as?
We are all in on The Incredibles.
Oh, which one are you? Are you the invisible one? You are?
No, I am Mr. Incredible, Stephen.
No, really. Which one are you?
Yes, Stephen.
Are you like the nerdy friend next door?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, listen, my youngest son says, Dad, you have to shave your beard because Mr. Incredible doesn't have a beard. And you have to say,
wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's the difference between you and Mr. Incredible.
Yes. Steven, what are you, Johnny Mundo over there?
No, listen, I'm not Mr. Incredible.
Don't body shame me, okay? It's 2018. That's not cool.
No, I'm just saying you don't need to try to be something you're not. You're beautiful the way you are.
Well, what is Halloween? So we will have the Know It Alls podcast for you guys that Wednesday night. We will just not be live coming up in 2 weeks. So a little bit of a wonky schedule coming up, but hopefully it will not impact your enjoyment of everything going on. We got a really great show coming to you from Reno next week. So thank you guys so much. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. # monolithic block of love. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We're about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls. Survivor Know-It-Alls.